we going to talk about peace today? Ronnie had asked me, well, do you have anything for Palm Sunday? And I said, no. I have this word God's been bringing up in my spirit now for a couple of weeks. And no, I don't have anything for Palm Sunday. I'm just going to be obedient to do whatever it is he's laid on my heart. Well, little did I know that it was Palm Sunday when I started looking deeper at the scriptures about peace. If you would, turn with me. If you need a Bible, Ronnie, will you grab Bibles? We're going to go to Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. And also I want you to go to John 20. Put a marker at John 20. So Romans 5, 1 and 2. And then John 20. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. All right, in John 20, 19 through, I think it's 22, yes. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, the Greek word for peace is eirene. Okay, eirene. There will be a quiz at the end. The definition has different definitions: a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war, peace between individuals, i.e. harmony, security, safety, prosperity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and therefore fearing nothing from anyone else and content with its earthly lot. The blessed state of devout, upright men after death. Now, the Hebrew word for peace, anybody know what it is? Shalom. Shalom. Shalom is a little bit like aloha. You said shalom when you said hi. You said shalom when you said goodbye.
See that in a lot of the songs.
Yes.
Shalom.
So, no, that's salem. Salem, which is a version, kind of like the same thing.
It's also one of God's names.
Yes, it is. Jehovah Shalom. So, shalom means, and I want you to think about this, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. Basically, I've read a whole bunch of different definitions of it. When you look at water, calm water, it's clear, it's still, it's quiet. What if some other water rushes into it? What happens?
Disturbs it.
Disturbs it. There's waves. Rain comes down on it. Flip-flop, flip-flop. It disturbs it. Air comes. Brings waves. That water is at peace when it is whole unto itself. By itself. Complete. As soon as something else comes into it and interrupts it, it's no longer at peace, correct? Now let's take another example. You have a block of Jenga blocks. You ever seen Jenga? Jenga is where there's crisscrossed wood into a high tower and you play pulling out pieces of wood until it falls down and goes boom. Well, that tower is all one, at peace, until you remove one piece and it's no longer whole or sound and it falls apart. So peace means, if it's completeness, it means being at one. Now, there are different types of peace. There is being at one with God, peace with God. There is having the peace of God, which allows us to have peace with ourselves and others. So we have peace with God, and then there is the peace of God. And the peace of God allows us to have peace with ourselves and with others. Okay? There are two types of peace. Objective or static, unchanging peace. And then there's subjective or dynamic peace. It changes. Okay? Peace that can change and peace that can't change. Romans 5, 1 and 2 that we read shows us objective peace. It means that this is a truth that cannot be changed with our feelings. Nothing on the outside can change this peace. Mm. Now, this, a lot of people describe peace as the absence of struggling or striving, as if peace is what you get when you remove everything else. But that's not true.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Peace is completeness, wholeness, soundness. It's not getting rid of something else. It's having everything we need. It's having everything we're supposed to have. Okay? It means that because the peace that we have that's objective, the peace with God, it means that Jesus paid the debt for our sins with his sinless, perfect blood, and we are no longer separated from and hostile toward God. We are at one with God spiritually. We now have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, which makes us, in our DNA, one with God. Our feelings don't change that. The situation and the circumstances of our lives don't change that. We now have peace with God. It was like we were at war with him. Jesus, by his death, Tanya, give me your hand for a second. Put our hand and God's hands together. You know how when you're in a marriage ceremony and the pastor takes the woman's hand and the man's hand, or the father, if he's giving away the bride, puts their hands together, and they become
one.
That is what peace truly means. When God the Father looks at us, instead of seeing our sin, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself shining through the Holy Spirit through us. Now, we talked a couple of weeks about Timothy, where it says, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. He is literally in us. We are now one with God, the vine and the branches. We remain in him and he remains in us. His very lifeblood, his eternal life is flowing through us. We are literally one with God. Okay, everybody with you? You got me? Ephesians 2, 14 through 8 says, for he himself is our peace, talking about Jesus, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, meaning the Gentiles and the Jews, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them, the Jews and the Gentiles, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who are near. The Gentiles were far away, the Jews were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Remember we've talked, how do you know for sure that you're saved? The old man, the old nature has died. How do we know? The old nature hated God, could care less if it sinned. The new nature that comes with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit cares very much about pleasing God and is grieved and hurts when we sin. That's how we know that we're saved. If we don't, if it doesn't bother us when we sin, we're not saved. It's pretty simple. Our old nature that hated God has died, and now we want to please God. We are at peace with him. Okay? Our new nature, the Spirit. So that is having peace with God. A few other examples in Scripture of faith securing our peace with God. Because of our faith, we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Okay? Because of that, like the woman with the issue of blood, she believed if she could just touch the garment, the hem of his garment, that she could be healed. She touched him. Power was released through him, not out of his coat, out of him, and she was healed. And he turned around her and he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Her faith allowed her to receive salvation and healing. She was not only made physically whole, but her salvation made her one with God,
amen,
right with God. She has peace. It's amazing how many times he says, "Be at peace, peace with you, go in peace." Mm-hmm. But this peace does not mean have a good day.
Right.
Have a nice day with a big yellow smiley face.
Right. Come on.
It means to go in peace means go and continue. Go in the knowledge and the fullness,
yes,
and acting according to the fact that you are now one with God.
That's good. Yes.
All right? Another one, the woman who said was leading a sinful life and she went into the Pharisee's house when Jesus was eating dinner and she brought expensive perfume and she went and cried over his feet and wiped her tears and wiped his feet with her hair and then poured the expensive perfume over it. One guess as to what he said to her. Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It changes. I never thought about what peace meant before. I thought it was like, "Hey, have a great day." No, he's saying something very specific. Go in the knowledge that you are now one with God. She became a part of the kingdom of God, which is, as we'll find a little bit later in Romans 14:7, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. What is it that everyone really wants? I talk about this all the time, satisfaction. What do we want? We think we need this, that, or the other in order to be happy. But what we want is righteousness, peace, and joy, which comes only from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But that's what the kingdom of God is. It's not things we strive for. It's things that once we have become one with God, we get in the person of the Holy Spirit. We become righteous because he is in us. And we have joy and peace, which are the fruit of the Spirit. But peace with God also results in the peace of God. A life walked in harmony with God's truths, commands, and his love. This is a subjective or dynamic peace that changes according to our feelings and our faith levels. So peace with God doesn't change. Peace of God comes and goes according to our faith level. All right. Now, I also want to say here that when I say walk in harmony with God's truths, commands, and his love, I do not want you to think this means being legalistic and getting all the commands right. We live by grace. We are not under the law anymore as believers. That's good news and it's bad news. It's good news because you don't have to memorize every law that there is. Mm-hmm. It's bad news because Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but fulfill it. It's not just that you can't have sex with someone outside of marriage. The point is that you're not even supposed to lust after him.
That's right.
Jesus drills down to the heart. It's not what we're doing on the outside.
That's right.
It's our heart on the inside. So it's even tougher
than
what he was saying. So the laws, it was easy. The Jews had spent hundreds of years, centuries, taking God's law and making minute little, his commands and making minute little laws for absolutely everything so they could follow the laws and say, I'm righteous. But what were their hearts? Their hearts were far from God. They didn't love God. They didn't love others. They were proud. They were rebellious. So that's why when I say commands, I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit, who knows what God wants, speaks to us about what God wants that we obey. That's the commands I'm talking about. Because the Holy Spirit within us will always lead us to do things that automatically obey the laws and the commands of God. Okay? Peace with God results from faith in Jesus Christ's payment for your sins, right? But it results in the peace of God, a life walked in harmony with God's truth and love. But it results in peace by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Last year we talked about how the fruit of the Spirit, you can't manufacture it. Have you ever tried to make yourself be peaceful? It doesn't happen. You cannot. I mean, I can do some meditation and some breathing, but even then, as soon as I stop it, peace is gone.
That's right. Yeah.
The peace that we desire and that is ours for the taking is a spiritual power that comes from the Holy Spirit inside of us and rises up within us. It is a fruit of the Spirit, which means it just blossoms in our life as we submit to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Peace is not just an avoidance or an absence of struggle. It's an active pursuit of living in harmony with God, listening for His Spirit, being at one with God in body, soul, and spirit, and then being at one with others and ourselves. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification, building up of other people. Now, what steals the peace of God from us? First of all, sin. Now think about this. The peace of God comes to us because of our faith. So the only way we lose our peace is because we are no longer in faith. And what is anything we do that's not of faith is sin. That's what the scripture says. So when we lose our peace, it means we've lost our faith somehow in God, in some area of our life. Examples are worry and pain. Worry means that we don't trust God. And when we don't trust that He will take care of what and who is most important to us, we are not at one with God in soul and spirit. We are not walking by faith and surrendering to His Spirit in us. We are being driven by the fears and doubts in our souls and the lusts and cravings of our bodies instead of the truth that His Spirit speaks to us. God is going one way and we are going another. We are not at one, so we lose our peace. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about having cross purposes? You want to please God, but you also want what you want. Never, there's never peace Never peace. When you want something other than what God wants, you're double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways, you're not whole, you're not complete, and you're not at peace. Romans 8:6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Do you understand this now? The problem is that the flesh is taking us away from our oneness with God, but the Spirit brings us back into alignment with God, and that's how we have His eternal life springing up in us and His peace blooming out of that life. Now, pain. This one's close to my heart because Ronnie deals with a lot of physical pain. Pain steals our peace because our bodies start screaming louder than the Spirit. And it is extremely hard to have faith and peace when we are in pain. Our body's not at peace. And our flesh is loud. Yet that is when we need our faith even more. It's good that we don't have to manufacture that faith, though. God can give us the gift. Bless you. God can give us the gift of faith by His Spirit if we ask. Sometimes when we can do nothing else, we have to simply cry out to God and ask for a refilling of His Spirit and His faith. As the centurion said, "I believe, but help my unbelief."
Yeah.
This is a very honest and pleasing prayer to God. So I don't ever want anyone to feel as though they don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. That's what your problem is. You've got to believe harder. Believe more. That's a legalistic, self-centered way of thinking it. Faithfulness is a gift of the Spirit. Every time we resort back to us trying to act godly instead of that literally being godly through the Spirit, we cause ourselves all sorts of headaches, all sorts of disappointment and problems. It's always the answer to every question is to pray and to let the Holy Spirit have His way. Pray and surrender.
Yeah.
That's the answer to everything. He will bring us the faith. We're allowed to say, right now, I don't trust you. Right now, I don't believe you. I need a gift of faith. I need the Holy Spirit to rise up in me and help me believe.
Amen.
It's on God and His grace to prove it to you and give it to you. Romans 5:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that. One of my favorite. But now I understand. The God of hope will fill me with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. What is it? I'm being one with God, so my life will then be at peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what steals our peace with others? Anybody got a guess? It's the opposite of love.
Hate.
No, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. The opposite of love is lust. Love is giving of yourself for the benefit of another. Selfishness or lust is taking from others for your own benefit. We want our own way and don't want to give it up in order to live in peace with others. 2 Corinthians 3, 13-11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. What steals your peace with yourself? What steals your peace with yourself?
Self-doubt.
Self-doubt? What else?
Mine is not the not having faith.
Not having faith? Very good.
Anger.
Anger? Sometimes we have no peace inside of ourselves, even when our circumstances are good. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that where everything's fine, but you just still are ruffled?
Mm-hmm.
You're still, there's like this an undercurrent underneath that's making you nervous.
Too good to be true. Everything
yes. That's a good one, too. That's good. That's very good. When we don't have peace in ourselves, it means that we are not whole or complete in ourselves. There's a piece missing. We are broken. We believe conflicting things. What God says and what we believe or what others have said. There is no internal peace until we are single-minded about ourselves. We are at peace when we see and accept ourselves as God sees and accepts ourselves. Now, I struggle with this in Celebrate Recovery, and I was talking to you ladies here this morning about the childhood with no other kids. It was just rejection. I was rejected across the board by every other child. No one, even if my mother forced them to spend time with me, really wanted to. I was just the kid that the other parents might feel sorry for. But again, I had no social skills. I didn't know. No one knew what Asperger's was. But that obviously is an undercurrent in my life that has been messing with me ever since I was 6 years old or 5 years old. I don't see myself as God sees me. I don't accept myself as God sees me. I must still see myself as a five-year-old that everyone else rejects. So I do not feel comfortable in my own skin. I believe what everyone else said by their actions, which is that there's just something wrong with me. Everyone else can see it and I can't. And then, of course, on top of that, hearing it from my mother when I was growing up, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. Well, there was. We just didn't know what it was. So that brokenness, when we are not at one with God in how we see ourselves, we cannot be at peace. Make sense? In John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." John 16:32 and 33 says, now this is really interesting. Verse 32 says, "You will all leave me alone." He's telling his disciples what's going to happen to him. "Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now I'm going to read you the verses that he said to them before he said this. "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Then he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." In other words, he's saying the peace I'm leaving with you is the Holy Spirit. Not just a feeling of security or a feeling of peace. He's leaving the Holy Spirit so that we have access to His peace. He says, so that in me you may have peace. When we are at one with Him by His Holy Spirit living in us, that's the peace He's talking about. Jesus' peace that He was leaving with the disciples was within the person of the Holy Spirit that would come once Jesus was gone. Galatians 5:22 and 23 list the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. His peace that He left us was the fruit of His Holy Spirit that now lives in us. His Holy Spirit overcomes the world just as Jesus did. But the last thing I want to share that I had never seen before. In John 20, after Mary had seen Him and nobody believed her that, you know, Jesus was alive, that evening He shows up in the locked room. And what are the first words He says? First words He says to them, "Peace be with you." Now, I'm telling you, He has died. He is resurrected. This is the first words He utters to the disciples. I've never looked at them before. Do you not think this might be important? First words out of Jesus' mouth? Peace be with you. Now, I always thought that meant, chill, guys. Everything's good. I'm here. You know what I mean? Like a greeting. Great to see you again. That's what I always thought of it. But what does peace mean? Being one with... That's right. And being one with God. Peace be with you. Now I'm going to teach you something here. Jesus' death was not only so we could have peace with God and ourselves, but so that everyone could have peace with God and with everyone else. We are not only to receive peace, but bring peace to others through the gospel of peace. It says, have your feet shod with the gospel of peace when it talks about the armor of God. He is the God of peace. We are to bring. It's the gospel of peace. John 20:19 says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then in verse 21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, I'm missing a verse there, and God showed me this. After He said, peace be with you, you know what He did?
Breathed on
them. No. He showed His hands and His side. He showed them what had happened to Him. Peace be with you. Look, I have been crucified. My sinless, perfect blood was shed. It's done. You are now one with God. Peace can now be with you. You with me here? That's what He's saying. He said, peace be with you. Look at my hands. Look at my side. It is finished. Then John 20:26 says, a week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, guess what?
Peace be with you.
Unbelieving Thomas, who needed to see His hands and His side. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, follow this. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus only did what the Father told Him to do. Right? That means that the Father sent Jesus to the disciples and told Him to say to them, peace be with you. Then He told the disciples to go out and say, peace be with you. To everyone else. As God has sent me to you, I am sending you to everyone else.
That's good.
You are to go out and tell others.
Spread it.
Be at peace with God. Jesus has opened the way. You can now be at peace with God, have peace with God, and have the peace of God. It means he is sending us to share the gospel of peace with everyone we meet. Luke 10:5 says, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. So as we come to Resurrection Sunday, I challenge you to ask yourself if you are living in the peace of God. Are you one with God? Are you seeing yourself as God sees you? Are you seeing others as God sees them? Are you seeing God as he sees himself? Are you surrendering to the Holy Spirit so you can live with him? Or are you double or triple or quadruple minded, trying to believe and do and pursue four things at once? I challenge you to share God's peace with others by sharing the gospel of peace with those around you. And that's perfect for Easter. I encourage you to bring someone. The few times people will go to Easter, I mean, go to church, will be on Easter.
That's right.
So I encourage you, ask God, pray this week, for God to open up a door for you to see an opening, to invite someone to church, so that they can hear the gospel and it can be made understood. I was 19 years old when I was saved, and no one had ever explained the gospel to me. Never. Everyone just assumes everybody knows the gospel and what it means. But they don't. Let me go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the peace that we have with you that was won by Jesus' blood. Thank you that there's no more hatred or hostility between us, but instead I am one with you. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the joy and the peace and the righteousness that belongs to me here in the kingdom of God, because it's now within me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me, Father, at the times when I'm faithless and I can't believe, you will remain faithful because you can't deny yourself. So help me to remember to call on the Holy Spirit and ask him to give me the gift of faith, to restore my faith to you. Help me, Father, to see myself as you see me. I want to be healed. I want to be at peace. I don't want to walk around always being afraid that people really don't like me and that they see something in me that I can't see that just makes them want to reject me. Father, all these things that happen in our lives that cause us to not see ourselves as you see us, help us, Father. Make us one. Heal us. Heal our brokenness, and help us to, at all costs, to live at peace with others and to share the gospel of peace at every opportunity that you provide. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Real quickly, I want you to stand here with me.
Okay.
I looked up that word, and she's...
Irene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Irene. And it really jumped out at me that it means the absence or end of strife. How many go through strife? You know, mm-hmm. What's strife?
Hardship, struggle.
Struggle.
Pretty much life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Half the time.
Strife is life. Life is
strife. Strife is when we're... We got the word, whoever, maybe it's for me, or maybe it's for all of us, that the Lord spoke to me in praise and worship. We're trying to always, we're striving, ain't we? Strife, we're going through strife, struggling in life and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what that word really means is the absence of that. That's the peace of God. That's the peace that Penny's preached on here. And looking in that, and there's so much more, and even you underline that. It takes it to another level, don't it?
What was the word again? No, the
Irene.
Irene.
E I r e N-E. You know what I like is not the absence of strife, because there's never an
the
absence.
The end. I like that.
I like the end. That was very interesting. The end of
the
struggling.
The end of it, yeah.
But you know what? The end of struggling. Have you ever seen somebody, or you've heard of quicksand?
Yeah.
Quicksand. When you go in, they say if you struggle against it, it will suck you down.
That's good. Good
when
example.
So you have a choice to stop struggling.
Yeah.
And you stay still until someone else pulls you out.
That's right.
That's what peace is. Stop struggling against it and pray for God to pull you out.
Yeah. There's a lot more on down in here, too, and it goes through the scriptures of how it works with God and even salvation, and like Penny X preached on there, of mercy, God's mercy, and everything else in those words. And so, but that's a great message, because most of our life, we talk about it in CR all the time, even how that our addictions, our bad habits are not our problem.
No.
What is?
Life.
Life. You know?
Our inability to deal with life.
Dealing with life and life issues. And when we come to a place of understanding that at the... and when I read that, I thought of Jesus. And this is Passion Week coming up. And Him on the cross. And what was the last thing He said?
It is finished.
Mm-hmm. It is finished.
The end. The end. That's the end that brings the peace.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got that, oh, yeah, goosebumps. For sure.
Karen,
it is finished.
You got something to share?
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can help me. I'm not going to read all of this.
But,
sure.
It goes with what we're... Okay, I think the part I got to read is this paragraph, and then I think I need that when someone gets here. People are seekers. Often they're seeking the benefits of God, joy, peace, joy, love, and heaven, but they are not seeking the relationship with God required to attain those benefits. God wants people to seek Him. What is that, A.M.?
Amos.
Amos 5:4. Not just His benefits. He wants people who are looking for a relationship with Him. People who are willing to sacrifice for that relationship, not because He wants to see them suffer, but because He knows the benefits suffering brings. Peace, joy, and hope shine most brightly in a life of suffering.
What scripture is that?
It referenced Amos 5:4.
Thank you.
Okay. And then over here, this is a study Bible, and this is what's there for Romans 5:1-5. What is it? You will only gain true peace, joy, and hope through having a relationship with God. That relationship can only be developed in Jesus Christ, and your experience of it can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. Though suffering is often a part of the Christian life, people anticipate with fear. God uses it to produce deep and lasting peace, joy, and hope. Let's see.
And this one down here?
I think it is this one. Enjoying God through experience. Whatever your current circumstances, God longs to comfort you, heal you, and give you His peace, joy, and hope. Take your needs to Him in prayer. Lay all your hurts and worries before Him. Ask Him to help you accept your circumstances. Fix your eyes on Jesus and live life in joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. This week, try to look at your life from a new perspective. See your life on the screen of eternity. Your 70 years of life are a mere blip on the screen. It is eternity that matters. Praise God that He is your hope. He will never disappoint you. Romans 5:5.
Thank you.
Amen.
Excellent.
Amen. Good word.
Thank you for sharing that.